Beatles for you there. That'll wake you up on a Friday morning. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I'm Paul Molloy. And along with Big Ed Davis, thank you very much for joining us on this December the 11th, Friday. In a few minutes, James Broffel of George Mason University's Mercatus Center is going to talk to us. We're going to talk a little bit about Xavier Becerra. You know who he is? He is Joe Biden's pick to be the Health and Human Services Secretary. And we're going to talk about why Becerra might be anti-small business. That's all we need right now with all the trouble small business is having with the virus. So stay tuned for that. And China. Boy, is that ever in the news, that country. Seems to be the X factor in the stories of Hunter Biden and Eric Swalwell right now. You know, been hearing about that, I'm sure. We're going to talk about it with the proprietor of the Barber Pole a little bit later in the show, Andrew Ceresi, among other things. I know you will want to stay tuned for that. And Time Magazine has come out with their Person of the Year. Have you heard who it is? We're going to tell you. Stay tuned for that. And then our ultimate top 10. Hey, what are we? I think we're exactly 2 weeks from Christmas today. The top 10 most popular Christmas songs. What do you think they are? Well, you got to stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. You guys, you got to get your Christmas haircut, right? You want to look pretty for the wife or the girlfriend or whoever it is. So you got to get over to Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. It's just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. You got to call them first, though. 727-733-3773. And don't forget Good Morning Clearwater every Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. on the Great Tantalk Radio Network with Paul and Tracy Allen. Let them start off your day with the latest in news and entertainment and sports. And by the way, if you need a poster, a flyer, a banner, business cards, wait till you see how good Tracy Allen is at making those things for you. Call them, 727-330-3212. Okay. Well, I guess we're excited, aren't we? Because the virus vaccine is coming. We got the FDA's board. All they got to do now is approve the doggone thing. The committee, they have a little process. So the FDA committee, I guess, sends it on to the FDA general population. But a U.S. Food and Drug Administration advisory committee yesterday approved Pfizer and the biotech virus. So I guess we can take our pick, Ed. And then by the time we get a chance to get a shot on that, we'll have that other one, Moderna. So we'll have choice of three, maybe. Or we can get one of each. You know, maybe we can do that. You know, one in each arm or something like that. Are you, Ed, going to get the vaccine when it's available? Or have you made up your mind on that?
I think I will. Just to prove that, I mean, you got to, I trust it.
Yeah,
I do
too. And I think more and more people are trusting it as they hear more about it. So,
The only thing that was cut out was the red tape.
Yeah.
You know, the safety process wasn't cut out, just the red tape. And here in the end, we're still dealing with red tape because even Trump just tweeted out, get the damn vaccine
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. You know what? These FDA people, I think of them as spoiled, sitting around, wasting and taking their time doing things, and people are dying. So I'm hoping that they're moving real quickly.
The FDA is not concerned with your health. They want money. You know, the politics and money. Tobacco-free items, the e-cigarettes, they've been around for 10 years and trying to get the FDA approval. And now all of a sudden, since they paid the money, now they've got the approval from the FDA.
That's very scary.
So, you know.
Very scary. So by June of this coming year, we may completely have this thing eradicated. Eradication's the wrong word. Basically, we've got it completely controlled so that we can wander around and go and be buddy-buddy with people, right? And it'll be over with.
You can't force people to take the vaccine. So
no.
What are you going to do for, let's say, let's use our own Tampa Bay Lightning. Let's go May. And the vaccine has been out for a while now, and most of the people, do you put some kind of notice up that's saying that if you haven't been vaccinated, don't come in, or what are you going to do there?
You're not going to know who's
flying?
Vaccinated.
What about flying, you know? But, I mean, if you've been vaccinated, you don't have to worry about it, right?
Maybe they got to put a tattoo right next to the vaccine shot that says, I got vaccinated.
Yeah, a little blinking light, something like that.
I don't know how you're going to do that. You're going to have to take people at their word. Here's what I would think from a selfish standpoint. I would want to take it for my own sake, so that somebody that didn't take it and might have the virus isn't going to give it to me, right?
Right.
So that's my motivation.
Right. But at what point do we start relaxing some of these things?
Correct.
When 100 million have been vaccinated, 200 million,
it's a very
what?
Good question. Yeah. It's a very good question. I think it's like anything else, you ease away from it, you know? It's not going to be like, today everybody with a mask, mm-hmm. and tomorrow you're on your own.
I mean, I think the NFL is toying with the Super Bowl, possibly pushing it back 2 to 3 weeks and putting it into well into February,
really?
Almost March.
March?
By that time, they're thinking that a lot of the country
can be
vaccinated
people.
And have it at full house.
Well, they need to
house.
Get the people in there, right?
Well,
they need to get them in there. I don't know. It's you know, I just want to get this thing over with, as everybody else does. And it's a good thing. It's coming. And I hope everybody, and I think they will, history will record that Donald Trump pushed and pushed and pushed to get this vaccine out. It was out in warp speed time, or will be out. And I hope that people appreciate that. I know a lot of people hate Donald Trump. But when all is said and done and people look back on his legacy, and I'm talking, you know, maybe 20 years from now, I think they're gonna appreciate the guy a lot more.
Yeah, history.
You don't know what you got until you lose
history
it.
History will point that out, not the media.
That's correct. In fact, we're going to talk a little bit about how the media has suppressed information that might have changed the course of the vote when we come back. But we are going to be taking a break right now. And when we come back, James Broffel from the Mercatus Center of George Mason University.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Tune in to Old East Channel Radio every Friday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. Do you remember the 50s, 60s, and 70s? Well, we'll be playing the greatest hits as well as plenty of songs from the B-side. This show is sure to bring back memories. So pull out your record collection, adjust your antenna, and listen to Old East Channel Radio Fridays from 7 to 9 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I took my troubles down to Madam Ruth. You know that gypsy with the gold cap tooth.
Hey, we are back on a Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday, right? It's warming up a little bit around Tampa Bay. We've had some cooler weather, which is kind of nice, too. Delighted to have James Broll join us. He is a senior research fellow at George Mason University's Mercatus Center, and he's put out a piece about Joe Biden's nominee for Health and Human Services, Xavier Becerra. I've heard that name before because he was, I think, involved in the, if I'm not mistaken, in the Bill Clinton administration some years back. But James talks about the fact that Becerra might not be too, what would you call it, small business friendly. James, welcome to Freedom Works. Nice to have you with us.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Sure. So you talk a little bit about how Xavier Becerra, if indeed he does become HHS secretary, apparently does not support things that will help ease the burden right now of small businesses. And God knows if any group needs help, it's small business right now. What's going on with him?
That's right. So it hasn't received much attention, but the Department of Health and Human Services just recently, right after the election, proposed a regulation that would force more serious review of regulations on the books that affect small businesses. Now, this is something that should be happening already. It's required by law under the Regulatory Flexibility Act, which is 40 years old or so at this point. But agencies don't really do these kinds of reviews. And so they just issued a regulation that said we're going to do more rigorous review of these rules. It makes a lot of sense right now as a result of the pandemic. But Xavier Becerra, so Joe Biden's pick as Health and Human Services Secretary, signed a letter with about two dozen other Democratic attorney generals opposing this regulation vigorously.
Why would he do that?
Well, the regulation is somewhat controversial in that it imposes sunset dates on regulations. So it says that if the department doesn't do these reviews, then the regulation actually expires. And there's about 18,000 regulations on the books, and most of them will be affected by this regulation. So the department in the next couple of years would have to do a lot of reviews. So this regulation will impose some obligations on the next administration to do reviews, first of all, which may make sense as a result of so many regulations being waived during the pandemic. So it may just make sense to review those regulations. And if the reviews don't happen, then rules would sunset. So that's part of the reason why they oppose it.
Yeah. I mean, right now, everybody seems to realize, I mean, even the general public, you know, there's always been this sort of, I don't know. There's always been this sort of negative thing about businesses. You know, they're out to make a huge profit and take advantage of their employees. And, you know, small businesses are the ones that work closest with their own employees and are not out to take advantage. They're out to provide a service, make a little bit of a profit. And so normally we, I think, would have more sympathy for them. And right now they're suffering so badly all over the country. And I don't know. Is there something because of this Democratic, I guess, knee-jerk reaction to businesses? Does that play any part in this, or is Becerra just, you know, misinformed? What do you think?
Well, some of it could just be pure politics. So because this is a Trump administration effort, there's a lot of policies that the Trump administration is moving forward on that would be probably considered common sense if any other administration was leading them, but because
yeah, the Trump factor,
there's kind of a knee-jerk reaction against it.
Mm-hmm.
That could be one factor.
Yeah, the Trump factor. I mean, it's look what Nancy Pelosi. Did you see what she said recently? She as much as admitted they're stalling on the stimulus package because they wanted to wait until Biden was president-elect. Now they'll negotiate because it'll make Biden look better. She as much as agreed that that was true. I mean, why would they? Go ahead.
It really shouldn't be the case. I mean, if you look at the history, I mentioned the Regulatory Flexibility Act. There was a modification to that act passed in the 90s that called the Small Business Regulatory Enforcement and Fairness Act, and that these laws that protect are intended to protect small business and relax regulations on small business passed with bipartisan support, huge majorities. So there's quite a bit of support across parties for alleviating some of the burdens that regulations impose on small businesses. But right now it's just such a tense time. There's so much partisan antagonism on both sides of the aisle that I think people aren't seeing clearly.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like it. We're talking with James Broll. He is a senior research fellow at George Mason University's Mercatus Center. And he has put out a piece about how Xavier Becerra, who is the nominee of Joe Biden to become the Health and Human Services Secretary, seems to not be big on letting some of these regulations kind of slide away from small business because they're hurting. They're hurting right now. Do you think, James, do you think the Senate might take that into consideration? I mean, the Senate is controlled by Republicans. They know Xavier Becerra. He's been around for a while. Do you think there's any chance he might be voted down?
I think there's a chance. He's somewhat of an unusual pick because he's a career politician. He spent almost 25 years in the House of Representatives. After that, he was actually someone who was in senior leadership in the House, but got frustrated waiting around for Nancy Pelosi to leave. So he left and became Attorney General of California, where he subsequently filed more than 100 lawsuits against the Trump administration. He's very political.
He is political.
He's somewhat controversial for that reason. He's a lifelong supporter of single payer. He's a major champion of Obamacare.
Oh boy.
Which is one of the reasons he was picked. But he's not someone who you would think is a natural leader in the midst of a pandemic, someone with a healthcare background. So he's a politician.
He's just a politician. Is he a real far lefty or is he more moderate, do you think? He's this Hispanic, and generally I've not thought, you can't group people. I've not thought Hispanics, though, to be way to the left normally.
So he's definitely said he believes healthcare is a right. He's a supporter of single payer healthcare, meaning government run healthcare. And many of the lawsuits he's filed have been related to controversial abortion issues.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's fair to say that he's pretty far to the left.
Does he, now that I think about it, what's his background in health and human services? What is his, does he have a pedigree
there? His background appears to be that he served on the House Ways and Means Committee for a number of years, and they oversaw some healthcare-related matters in the House of Representatives.
Well, he's not like a medical guy or anything like that, right?
No.
Yeah.
No.
We always, just a plain old straight arrow politician is what we're getting out of this. So, so small businesses right now are hurting. I mean, we know that so many of them are barely above water, and many of them have gone under. You would think that they would get them, that Democrats in particular would get the message. Or is it because now that they've got the election over with, they can return to their anti-business stance and not care what small businesses, would they be that? Would they be that? You know what I mean?
Joe Biden has a history of being a moderate Democrat on many issues, and he has an opportunity to show to the public that his party is not the anti-business party. And one of the ways they can do that is by promoting and continuing regulations like the one that the HHS has proposed that would try to relax regulatory burdens on small businesses who have suffered so much as a result of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
There's quite a bit of evidence that regulations disproportionately impact small business, that they bear a larger cost per employee than bigger firms do, and they don't have the same insider access that large corporations do to get regulations designed in a way that benefit them. So they're often kind of shut out of the process and have to bear a disproportionate burden in terms of cost.
Mm-hmm. And you also have that situation, I guess, both with Becerra, if indeed he does become HHS secretary, and Biden, is that they're constantly being pulled to the left, which tends to mean that businesses will suffer even more if that means like re-adding regulations, maybe that the Trump administration has been able to, you know, take away. I mean, look at the way things seem to go. I mean, during these 4 years with forgetting about the virus for a second, but, you know, businesses were doing well. The stock market, unemployment was so low. You would think that even a Democrat would understand that.
I would think
that, I was kind of making leading you on there a little bit, but go ahead.
Well, Democrats have an opportunity to show that they're a party that supports business, and one of the areas where there tends to be a fair amount of bipartisan support to support business is cutting red tape. Every president, going back to Jimmy Carter, has ordered some kind of review of regulations on the books to reduce regulatory burdens, cut red tape, and especially help small business. And that includes Clinton, that includes Obama. This is a bipartisan issue. And so there's an opportunity for Biden to continue that history. But I agree with you that there are elements of his party that are pulling him in a different direction,
yeah,
which definitely does have an anti-business, at least rhetoric, that comes out of them, if not, you know, beliefs.
Yes. Getting back to healthcare itself, and you mentioned he's a big proponent of Obamacare. Is he looking for single payer? This is something that Biden has sort of danced around a little bit. Biden says, no, I'm not going to take away your private health care. Is Becerra more, kind of would like to take away your private health care?
Well, he's voiced support for single payer in the media. So I think it's fair to say he supports it. Whether he could impose that as Health and Human Services Secretary, that's another matter. I mean, this would require legislation from Congress, so he can't just wave a magic wand and make that happen. But there are small steps he could take in that direction. This is a massive agency. You should remember, its budget is over $1 trillion annually. So that's bigger than the GDP of entire countries. It's bigger than many countries' entire government. So this is a massive federal agency. It has quite a bit of power, and it has quite a bit of authority it can impose on the states, because so much of state funding comes from HHS as well, because Medicaid can be a third of a state's entire budget.
Yes.
And much of that funding comes from the federal government, from HHS specifically.
I just wonder if, I don't know, of course, but people have had a taste of Obamacare, and most of them that have had that taste don't like it. They find it to be a little bit on the bitter side. They kind of learn the hard way sometimes. They get the program, then they find out, wait a second, I got to spend all this money up front before the benefits even kick in for me, you know, that kind of thing. You'd think we'd understand and pick up on the fact that if we leave it in the private sector, you really would get a better product at a lower price. I guess we can't convince people of that, right?
It's hard because the costs of regulation are so invisible. They're just built into everything. So when we see that our healthcare premium is really expensive or the cost of drugs is going up, it's hard to connect that to pieces of paper,
yeah,
that bureaucrats in Washington are writing. But there is a connection, we need to educate the public about that relationship.
Yeah, you want to blame the doctor, you want to blame the hospital, and you want to blame the insurance company, which are marching
right
to the beat of a government edict. And that's where, I think, that's where really the blame belongs. But anyway, James, it was really a delight to talk with you. Thank you so very much for your time this morning. We're going to follow the exploits of Xavier Becerra, and maybe down the road we'll speak again.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, I can't wait to hear what the proprietor of the barber pole has to say about Hunter Biden and Eric Swalwell.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the TAN Talk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's TAN Talk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
We are back. By the way, Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time for the great TAN Talk Radio Network, the provider of Freedom Works. And if you cannot listen to us live, you can listen to us via podcast. Big Ed puts all our shows on podcast. All you have to do is go to the website, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button, and there you go. Well, Ed, listen to this. Time Magazine has picked their poison of the year. And they, with great fanfare, it's President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris as the, quote, person of the year. We got to be woke, you know. So it's person of the year. We're going to include both of them. We can't just say one.
I demand a recount.
And they were fiercely critical of Trump. Listen to this. Charlotte Alter, author of the piece, says, quote, they picked Biden because he will, quote, restore the soul of the nation. He said that Biden's pledge to restore the soul of the nation felt like antiquated hokum at the moment when Hurricane Trump was tearing through America, ripping through institutions, chewing up norms, and spitting them out.
Don't forget getting us a vaccine within a year.
Let us go out as quickly as we can, and if there is any place that sells Time Magazine, I want to put it on that toilet paper roller in the bathroom here in the radio. All right, Mr. Andrew Ceresi, are you excited that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are the poison of the year for Time Magazine?
Well, you heard of a two-headed snake, haven't you?
Yes.
There's a picture of it right on Time Magazine.
That's about right. Oh, my goodness.
Of course, Paul, look at everything that's going on today. Time Magazine, person of the year. Give me a break.
First of all, nobody cares anymore what Time Magazine thinks.
No, what we care about now is what's going on with Eric Swalwell and the Chinese infiltrating our government, Paul.
Well, China is the key word between the Swalwell and Hunter Biden and finally.
You know, Paul, we hear Russia, Russia, Russia. Let me tell you something. What is Russia? Russia is a small country bankrupt, okay? They got no potential to do nothing to this country.
Mm-hmm.
It's been China all along, Paul.
Yeah. I think people are starting to realize.
Anybody who says no, their eyes are closed.
And so we get Dianne Feinstein. By the way, she's starting to have apparently some mental acuity issues.
You think?
Dianne Feinstein. Did you know she had a chauffeur running around? It was a Chinese infiltrator.
For 6 years.
Now Eric Swalwell is betting some Chinese spy some years back. And he was the guy that went after Trump. Remember, he was always popping up. He was even on Fox News suggesting that Trump was in cahoots with Russia. What a hypocrite.
Our country is so infiltrated with the Chinese against us, the people need to open their eyes. And look at how stupid Mr. Trudeau is over in Canada. He's welcoming the Chinese army to go train there in the cold.
Oh, that's crazy.
Right across from our border, Paul.
Well, we were doing it, allowing them to come in. You know, they were a bunch of them were sneaking around on our military bases.
Infiltrated. The Democratic Party is, look at the Governor Kemp, okay, signing with the Chinese Dominion Company and meeting with them. This guy has his hands in their pockets, too, believe me.
Yeah. So now we're worried a little bit about, I mean, had the Hunter Biden story been allowed, had they not covered it up, the mainstream media, they had not covered all of this up. They waited until after the election. Now they're accepting it. There have been plenty of criticism, I'm just reading this, in recent days, of the mainstream media's refusal to cover the Hunter Biden story ever since the Biden transition team issued a press release finally acknowledging he was under investigation. Well, of course they have to acknowledge it now.
Well,
go ahead.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Who would you consider the stupid ones? The ones that were listening to the mainstream media or the ones that were the mainstream media?
Well, I guess the stupid ones were the ones listening to the mainstream media.
There you go.
And we have to blame ourselves.
Because if you sit there, people are hearing just in a couple days the Hunter Biden story. 17% were saying, well, we never would have voted for Joe Biden if we heard this.
I know. And not just Hunter Biden, it's his uncle. Joe Biden's brother is involved.
Something.
It's a family affair. Why don't they just there must be, I bet they have a mansion in Peking somewhere, you know.
This is all going to their plan. Listen. Who do you think is letting these leaks out now about Hunter Biden and the Biden family?
So
you think
I know
it might be the Democrats.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. They shove Joe aside to get Kamala up there.
That's right. They're putting him under the bus, buddy. But
yeah.
Paul, it's not going to work, Paul. Look at the states now that are turning against what's happening here.
You know, this morning I'm not kidding. Now I'm being honest. I was thinking, I was laying in bed, I hadn't gotten up yet, and I was thinking, I wonder if the electors, now that they know about this connection with China, and obviously they know that there's a conduit of money, laundered money most likely, coming from politicians in China and maybe government officials directly into the pocket of Joe Biden. Now, it's being sort of filtered through by maybe his brother and his son. Do you think the electors might go, I don't think we should put this guy in because...
Well, the Supreme Court better know it.
But the electors could then turn. You know, they're not forced to vote.
Oh, right. They're not forced to vote for anybody. Oh, I know that.
That's what I was thinking. It's becoming more of a reality. I don't know. What do you think?
You know, Paul, I've been hearing bits and pieces. I don't know if you look on the computer. I know you're on different sites than me. And I'm wondering if Ed... I know Ed looks around and sees different things.
Sure.
But if you guys have noticed anything about the U.S. Navy being positioned on the East Coast and the West Coast of our country?
I have not noticed that. I do think they're that way.
You haven't heard anything about that, huh? And I've heard that there's been all kinds of, and our military bases on both of the East Coasts with things going on.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of rumors. They're saying that Trump could pull this insurrection, whatever. I don't know.
Well, what are you getting?
We're being invaded by China. Within our own government, Paul. It's an act of war.
Well, I mean, what do you think the reasoning would be for having ships on either coast?
Well, I don't understand it myself what's going on, but there's just bits and pieces there. Something could happen with China, an attack on this country. We don't know.
Well, you know, one thing when you talk about insurrection, this is an insurrection. But did you hear that Texas, there's a push in Texas again? This is not the first time. To consider secession?
Yep.
And also
a few states.
Yeah. And also, as long as we're talking about Texas, Missouri and five other states yesterday threw their support behind the Texas lawsuit to prevent Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin electors from casting their votes for Biden.
I understand there's 21 states now, Paul.
So that may be quite an interesting situation for the Supreme Court.
Well, for the Supreme Court and a lot of other things. You know, with this China coming up, and let's face it, we know we've been infiltrated.
Can we
China
do it?
Knows that we know now.
How about we have a complete redo on the vote? What do you think?
Well, that's what should be done, and it should be done with paper ballots with a receipt, buddy.
Yeah. I'm beginning to think.
Because this whole thing is messed up. You know it, and I know it. Biden did not win.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know for sure. I wouldn't bet my life, but I wouldn't be surprised. Let me put it that way. Because there is so much fraud in the inner city precincts of our country, which is a very sad and depressing thing.
Well, just remember, if China is behind this, okay, and they've got probably a bigger military than we have now.
I would think so.
And they've done it with all of our money. And with everything that's going on, and we know that they're coming up in the front with everything, and that they were involved in our election, they might hit us, Paul. I don't know what to expect.
So you think China might have been involved directly in altering the count of the vote?
No question about it.
Really?
China's economy it relies on the United States of America.
How would China be able to infiltrate the vote or do it? How would you figure that they could do that?
Well, they owned the Dominion machines, didn't they?
Think they own or built them, but go ahead. They Dominion machines are American made.
And then look, we've been infiltrated within our government with all these
that I agree with.
Votes, with all these fraudulent votes. You got our paid off politicians covering up for them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's infiltration.
Yeah, I agree with the infiltration.
Yeah,
that's very sad and scary.
Infiltration, and if they've done that, and they know that we're onto it. They might try something, Paul. I don't underestimate them. They want world power.
You know, Nancy Pelosi is such a hypocrite and maybe in a certain way a scary person to be where she is. She dismissed the Dianne Feinstein chauffeur deal. She's
right.
Dismissing the Eric Swalwell deal. She dismisses it.
Well, she's probably bought off too, Paul.
Yeah.
Any one of them, Paul, I don't even, there's Republicans. You cannot trust any of them. We have been infiltrated.
Yeah.
And this is where Trump could come in with something, you know? You got both the Republican Party and the Democrat Party being infiltrated. What good is our government? Chinese know all our secrets. These people are all bought off already. What would you do if you were him?
I think I would.
The American people.
Well, you come right to the American people and just tell it like it is. We're talking with the proprietor of the Barber Pole, Andrew Ceraci. Andrew, I want to ask you about this vaccine. Now that we've gotten relatively good news, the FDA is on the cusp of approving. It may be approved today, as a matter of fact. We may have it out this month. In fact, it sounds like we will. Would you stand in line to take a shot? Do you feel... Or do you feel like Superman, you wouldn't get it no matter
what? Well, number one, I'm not taking those shots.
Okay.
Like I told you, I won't go buy one of those new Corvettes for 2 years because you're going to have all kinds of problems.
Yes.
Now, if you believe this virus is as bad as it is and as deadly as it is and you're afraid to go out of your house, you know what? Go get the shot. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to deal with it, Paul, because I don't believe this is anything it is. I don't. Look at Rudy Giuliani kicked it. How old is he?
He's 104.
Probably,
in January.
Anyway, I think he's about 80.
Yeah, he's about 80-something, yes.
Okay, you know, and Paul, this thing isn't as deadly. It's like Big Ed says, I want to see the bodies. I don't see funeral homes running out of coffins yet. We're running out of toilet paper, but not coffins.
We are running out of toilet. Ed said he would consider taking the shot. I would consider taking it, too. I mean, it's not going to hurt me to take it, is it?
How do you know?
I don't know.
When you take it, let me know.
Well, no one's dropping like flies from the testing that I know of.
I don't think anybody's dropping like flies from anything, Paul.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I mean, don't need it.
Well,
I'm in pretty good health. I'm 65
I know you are.
Years old, Paul. I'm in pretty good health.
No, you're in excellent health.
If I get the flu, I'm going to have the scutters, and I might throw up, and I've had that all before.
No, you're in excellent health, and I love watching you do those kip-ups and... one and a half backflips. At your age, it's just amazing.
There you go. It's amazing, isn't it? Anyway.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'll tell you what.
Well, this country right now is on thin ice all the way around. And the people better realize what's happening. Open your eyes. Russia is nothing to ever worry about, Paul. It's a bankrupt little country. Yeah. China's the biggest fear of this world. And they're right on our borders, buddy.
I think people are starting to open up their eyes about China. I think the press is going to relax its, whatever you want to call it, shutdown mode. Now that now that Biden is over the, as they see it, he's over the line, the finish line, right? So now they're going to come out and they're going to talk about Hunter Biden because, you know, now they can be more honest again or whatever you want to call it, not objective, they'll never be that. But they'll start allowing these stories where they were suppressing them before.
Well, that's because they'll take Joe Biden out of the presidency and put Kamala Harris in.
Yes, that's another
thing.
He'll
resign out of being embarrassed, plus being part of it. He got $900,000 from, as a matter of fact, the Ukraine held a trial the other day, and they came right out and said that Joe Biden got paid $900,000 from Burisma.
Burisma. Okay. Where'd you read this about the trial?
It's all over the computer,
it
man.
Is. Well, he's in hot water. There's no doubt about it. If they can connect any money, especially when he was vice president, coming into him through his son or through his brother or however, I mean, you could honestly say that these are grounds for taking the guy out.
But I think
I'd rather have him in there, the doddering old fool that he is, rather than Kamala Harris.
I don't think we're going to see either of them, so I'm not worried about them.
Okay.
You know, the biggest two fears in this country ought to be, the two thoughts ought to be, we need to hope that Chinese military apparatus is as good as every other product that they make, which means it'd be crap. Okay?
Yes.
We need to hope for that. And we need to hope that the Supreme Court sees what's going on with this country right now and does the right thing and saves us. They're the only ones that can save this country right now, Paul.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court.
Well,
is it really going to be the Supreme Court or is it going to be the Scrotum Court? We're going to see what it's going to be.
Well, I do like the fact that maybe our chances are much better now with the 6-3 conservative majority.
Oh, no question about it, because you know Sotomayor, what she's going to be doing.
I mean, can you imagine if Ginsburg was still there and we didn't
have... Oh, my God. No, like I say, Kavanaugh worries me a little bit, but we'll see if he follows through.
Kavanaugh worries
so far. I don't know, man. We'll see what happens there. I think he's going to do the right thing.
You like Amy Coney Barrett, though, don't you? The new one?
I like her. I like Clarence.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But they're going to have to do the right thing, Paul. There's no question about it.
This
country will fall quicker than you could shake a stick.
Yeah. Well, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so very much. We'll be talking again with you on Monday.
You got it, buddy. Have a good day, and Trump be with you.
All right. Thank you, Andrew, the Master Barber. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, the top 10 most popular Christmas songs.
I gave a girl a ride in the wagon. She crawled in and took control. She was tired. Her mind was a dragon. I said, get some sleep and dream of rock and roll.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting. Beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up, every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM, to Good Morning Clearwater.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest-running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question. Get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. By the way, here's another thing that's going to happen if Biden gets in. President-elect Biden's coronavirus advisor, Michael Osterholm, has urged Americans to skip Christmas festivities. He says, I don't care if I'm accused of being the Grinch. But you know what? I want you to be around for next Christmas and the Christmas after that. We should, basically, he doesn't want anybody showing up at your house, including even your kids from school, because they might be bringing home the virus. Well, you know that you're going to want your kids home for Christmas, don't you? And celebrate Christmas. Aren't you going to take that chance? I think he's going a little bit overboard. Anyway, before we get to our top 10, and it will be about Christmas, when I ask Ed about our beloved Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, they've had their ups and downs, and they were on a bye mode last weekend, Ed. Who are they playing this weekend?
The Vikings at home at 1 o'clock.
Ah, do we have a chance to win that game?
I would hope so. Got 2 weeks to prepare for it.
And we're in the hunt for a playoff spot, right?
Yes, we are. And like everybody's watching, too.
Yeah.
You know, with the whole Brady thing, everybody's watching.
The Bucs are now an exciting team to watch because of Tom Brady, right? Mm. And do you think, we've had a little bit of talk, you and I, about whether or not Tom Brady should now be calling his own plays. And we know that he does call some of them from time to time. Do you think they're going to release that and allow him to be Tom Brady?
I don't. There's a third person involved. There's the offensive coordinator, Byron Leftwich. So there's a three avenue there. I don't know.
He has to justify his job.
It's got to be a power struggle. Something's just not right. Something's just not right. But then, you know, you got like Tony Romo, former Dallas quarterback that calls the games. He's showing you that this is not Brady's fault. And you got guys like Mike Evans, our wide receiver, a Pro Bowl guy, he's not running the route completely. And that's why the ball's not being, it's not being completed.
So that's you kind of look at the offensive coordinator to make sure that these guys are running their routes correctly.
And we're never going to know. We're never going to know because it's going to stay in-house. If there is a power struggle or there's griping, we're never going to know. So
I was watching the New England Patriots last night. They were getting slapped around. Yeah. Remember, it's a different era without Brady there.
Cam Newton's awful. I don't care what anybody says. He's awful. There's a reason Carolina didn't want him anymore. So.
Yeah. He's kind of over his hill, right? If there was one.
You can only run for so long when you're in a quarterback and young. Then you get old, and then they start to hurt when you get hit.
I wouldn't know about that.
In his last 2-3 years in the league, he was constantly complaining he was getting hit too hard because he was running quarterback. And guys said, hey, listen, you got the ball, we're going to hit you.
Yeah. Okay, my friend, got to get over there on the drums. We have the top 10 most popular Christmas songs. And by the way, you've heard of Spotify, right, Ed? That's going to be the group.
Yeah.
Okay. It comes from them. And I want you to have to listen to this, Ed. I know that you're going to have other things here, but I want to see if you know the number one song, okay? So here we go. Number 10. Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow. You've heard that one over the years. Frank Sinatra's version.
I have a feeling it's going to be a lot of Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Bing Crosby, people like that.
Yeah, okay. Number 9. You ever heard of Burl Ives?
Yes.
Holly Jolly Christmas? You've heard of that one,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he narrates one of the animated Christmas.
Well, don't get him confused with Boris Karloff.
No.
Yeah, he died. I think you're right. Anyway, Holly Jolly Christmas is number 9. Number 8.
Now, this one goes back a few years. The Christmas song, Nat King Cole's version.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great song. I always loved that one. It is one of my favorites. Number seven. Ed, you're right. Bing Crosby shows up.
There he is.
This one goes back to the 1940s. White Christmas.
I was going to say White Christmas.
Oh, yeah. I think in many cases it's considered number one, but not on this one. Number six. You know Michael Bublé, the singer, mm-hmm. I think? It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. You know that song?
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good one. Number five. I remember this one as a kid. Jingle Bell Rock. Bobby Helms. Mm-hmm. You ever heard that one?
Yep.
Yeah, it's kind of cute. Number four. I don't know this one. You tell me. Wham's version. It's called Last Christmas.
Absolutely. That's actually and since we have a little bit of time, that is my favorite Christmas song.
Really? Is this it?
Yeah. In fact, we'll probably go out with that.
I like that. You were all set with that, too.
It's
very
a good. Kind of a
we'll have hit. To play that as an intro to
Wham
our show.
Wham goes back to the 80s, though. You know, Boy George, Wham.
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's play that as an intro to one of our shows coming up, too. Yeah. All right, number three. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Andy Williams. Yeah, I love that song. There's some good ones on here.
I like that song being played in July, too. It's August.
You like it in August?
Yeah, because the commercials play that on TV, and you see two young kids kind of kicking their feet, their heads down in the store aisleway.
In August.
Talking about school supplies. It's the most wonderful time. Kids go back to school.
Yeah. You know, Andy Williams, bless his heart. Then he went out to Branson, Missouri, and he was a mainstream performer there towards the end. Yeah. All right, number two. I love this one, too, that goes back again. Well, a little kid. Rocking Around the Christmas Tree by Brenda Lee. Yep. Remember that song?
Yep.
That's a cute. You know, it's great that some of these songs continue on, you know, over all of the years. It really is. All right, Ed. I don't know that you know. I would not have guessed this one. I want to see. What do you think Spotify's number one most popular Christmas song is?
How about something like Dean Martin, Baby It's Cold Outside, or something like that.
Okay.
Something like that.
All right. Roll the drum. Mariah Carey sang a Christmas song.
Mariah.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mariah. They call the wind Mariah.
Mariah's sister.
Yeah, it's Mariah's sister. You're right. No, you're right. Mariah Carey. You know what the name of the song was? All I Want for Christmas is You.
Yeah.
So that's number one.
Yep.
We'll have to play that one, too.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back on Monday. Freedom Works.
The most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer.